I'm Chance Dorland, and this is The Docket, our weekly interview program covering law and crime in San Antonio and Bexar County from ExpressNews.com. Three people accused in the death and disappearance of King J. Davila recently had court appearances in San Antonio. This is, of course, the now well-known and tragic story of an 8-month-old boy whose body was found in January inside a backpack buried in a field. This is a new case that, well-publicized, is still inching its way through the courts, but there have been some recent revelations that came to light this week. And I'm joined now by Express News courts and crime reporter Elizabeth Zavala to get updates on what has taken place. So, Liz, as always, great to have you here on the show. And unfortunately, we're talking once again about this very, very tragic and, as I already mentioned, well-publicized case. But there are some new details that you can tell us about now.
Yes, Chance. It's starting to get kind of busy at the Justice Center here in Bexar County. Christopher Davila, his mother, Beatrice Sampaio, and her niece, Angie Torres, who's also Christopher's cousin, had trial settings in the 227th State District Court. And as you said, King J's body was found in a backpack and buried in a field. And Christopher Davila, who at that time was believed to be the boy's father, had the boy that day and reported him missing after taking him to a convenience store. And then later, Davila admitted to police that the boy died from falling off of a bed, and he led them to the grave in a northeast side field. So we would later find out that his mother and cousin participated in the kidnapping scheme. So Beatrice Sampaio and her niece, Angie Torres, each face charges of tampering with evidence. And Christopher Davila is charged with injury to a child, faking the child's kidnapping, and tampering with evidence. And Sampaio and Torres made their court appearances, but the cases were reset Monday. So after that, we being the media, had a very interesting exchange with Sampaio's niece. Her name is Elizabeth Sampaio, and she's 38 years old. And she addressed members of the media outside of Judge Kevin O'Connell's courtroom. And let's listen to a little of what she said.
Drugs, pills, if you would clean the house, if you would do things. It was secret. Nobody could know. Her husband couldn't know. This is all true. And everybody who's seeing this, you guys know. Only I'm saying it because Angie can't go down for what Beatriz did. Angie wasn't okay. I know she was there. I know she drove the car, but she may not have known everything. And you have to ask yourself, who would give up their whole life for something like that? She wasn't involved in the crime. She didn't have anything to do with the baby. It wasn't nothing of hers. She either didn't know or she wasn't in her right state of mind. And that's because that's how Beatriz has everybody. You see her as weak. You see her as not being able to do anything, and everybody else knows differently. Everybody who has seen these videos of her infuriates them because we know her. We know her. We lived with her. She did us all wrong. All of us, even before me, my mom, my dad, everybody. She's always been that way, manipulative. Anybody was the mastermind, it was her. I believe it was her who was the mastermind. Now, Christopher 100% called his mom. This is my family, so I know them. Christopher called his mom. His mom was the one who concocted the whole idea. Let's do the, this is me. I'm not saying I know for a fact, but this is what I could see from her. Yes, because that's what she would do. I am here to support Angie. I'm just saying the right people who should be charged should be charged. And if you think about it logically, Angie had nothing to gain from helping in this crime. Christopher did. It was his son. Beatriz did. It was her son. But Angie didn't. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time and in the wrong state of mind, to be honest. Because anybody who walks into that house is walking in for the same thing, for drugs. Trying just to hold it together. But why are we holding it together when they're the ones who did it?
So are you saying both of them did it?
Beatriz and Christopher? Well, Christopher did whatever he did to the baby, you know, and Beatriz helped him cover it up. You got to think about it. I know it sounds funny, but this is a 1980s crime. Who would stage a kidnapping? that happened like years ago, decades ago. This is, she did it. She did it. If anybody deserves to go down, it's her, because she should have been the logical one to have called the police. When her son called her, she should have stopped it right there and called the cops. She should have ended it right there. Right there. But she didn't.
What do you think would be the right sentence for her? What is it that the family is asking she get?
Three at the ace? She helped cover up. They buried the baby.
Is she as sick as she being portrayed?
Beatrice has been sick since before I was born. I'm 38 years old. She has been dying all my life. All my life, she's been dying. She's manipulated every system, everything there is.
Does she really have cancer?
I mean, maybe. Maybe, but nothing like that. She pretended not to know me until I upset her in the courtroom. And she said, shut up, Elizabeth. I said, now you know me.
So, Elizabeth, as you just mentioned, you and other members of the media had a chance to be there when these comments were made. Tell me what that was like. Obviously, this is one of the first times we've been able to hear from a family member like this on the record.
Right, Chance. This was really kind of interesting because, you know, this, you know, as you mentioned, this case is pretty high profile in San Antonio, and Elizabeth was there, and there were several relatives there as well. And as she mentioned in the video or the audio that we used from the video about this splitting the family, she was not really with them. I mean, she kind of, you know, did a nod to them. And, you know, they had some acknowledgement, but you could still kind of tell that there was a little bit of maybe, you know, some friction, you know, with some of the other relatives. And but as she was talking to us, you know, just, you know, recounting childhood memories, and just kind of painting this picture of a very, very manipulative person and a very, you know, not normal type of upbringing. I mean, you don't like, you know, offer, you know, if you know, she accused her aunt of offering children, you know, tranquilizers and drugs to do things like clean the house or do things for her. So, you know, there was a lot of passion and a lot of emotion in, you know, her delivery of this news to media that day outside of the courtroom.
And as you mentioned, Elizabeth, that's just audio from a longer video, and that video is available in many of the recent stories available now at expressnews.com having to do with Christopher Davila, the rest of the family, and of course, this unfortunate, very tragic death of 8-month-old King J. Davila. That takes me back to someone I just mentioned, Christopher. Where is the case involving him? I believe he's been in custody for a very long time since when he led police to the body of the child that he had buried after he changed his story. I'm wondering, where is the case now in regards to Christopher?
So, Chance, something interesting happened. Christopher Davila was supposed to be in court on Tuesday, the day after his mother and his cousin were to appear before Judge O'Connell. But Christopher apparently refused to get on the transport at the jail to come to court that day. So he did not show up. And Judge O'Connell announced in the court for the record that Christopher had decided not to come to court, and that because of that, that he would confer with his lawyer, Robert Behrens, in the Bexar County Jail.
So, Elizabeth, I don't think you've ever described a situation quite like that before here on the docket. And we've discussed many cases. This is the first I'm hearing of something like this. So I'm wondering, how is that situation handled? If you're in jail and you refuse to do something, I could see them sort of trying to persuade you. My guess is that you don't have a lot of choice in your life at that point, but he didn't show up in court. So I assumed he had that choice to not go.
Well, you know, Chance, it's for me, you're right. For me, it's very unusual. I mean, I've seen cases actually where, you know, defendants will act so badly that they can actually get removed from court and told that, you know, they wouldn't be able to be there if they were going to, you know, not act the right way. But in this particular case, Christopher did not show up, and he, you know, we were told he refused to get on the transport. So after talking with a couple of people, you know, we were told that, you know, yes, inmates can refuse to appear in court before a judge or, you know, with their attorneys. And this is from a, you know, a courthouse observer. So this is very early in the process, and this actually was Christopher Davila's first trial setting since he sought to have his bond reduced, which was denied. And we might have talked about this once before, but his bond right now is at $1.25 million. So, so if this was going to be jury selection or trial itself, you know, something that is really important that, you know, the defendant needs to be there. The judge can sign an order and literally have him physically brought to court. So again, it's very early in the process, and Christopher Davila and his mother and cousin will have several trial settings at least once a month. So the Express News is going to be there too. You know, there is a lot of interest in this case in San Antonio. It's tragic. You know, this little boy died from blunt force trauma injuries. And so it's pretty safe to say that he's touched the hearts of many people, not just, you know, in San Antonio, you know, across the nation even. And so, but, you know, we need to find out what happened, and hopefully, you know, as we get closer in the process, you know, we'll be reporting more, from the courtroom, and we'll see what happens.
And thank you to San Antonio Express News courts and crime reporter Elizabeth Zavala for joining me for today's episode of The Docket, our weekly interview program covering law and crime in San Antonio and Bexar County from expressnews.com. For the San Antonio Express News, I'm Chance Dorland.